right, here we go. A beautiful Friday afternoon. Gotta love this weather. I mean, at least there's something to love in New Orleans. I know, you know, we just have this really tough relationship with the Saints. You love them. We love the Saints. But you got to be honest. It really sucks right now to be a Saints fan. I mean, this is really, really difficult. I was in the Dome last night along with many of you, and I know you were there. And those of you listening and watching, all right, hey, crank it up right now. Man, I'm just getting distracted talking about the Saints here this Friday afternoon. All right, we have a lot to talk about, and since we are so close to the election, we're going to talk about politics today. And you know, some of the stuff is just really so bizarre and crazy that I keep reminding you that even for Free for All Friday, it's fitting that we talk about politics, because some of the stuff is just so crazy that it's almost funny. I mean, you got to find a sense of humor in all of this, because it just really is that bizarre. I mean, you know, you can get down and dirty with it and just get all specific and just all serious about every little thing that's said, or you could just kick back and say, man, I can't believe this crap that's being said. I can't believe this stuff. So anyway, we'll get into all of that. I hope you don't mind, but we have a little bit of fact-checking to do on the show. And it's kind of a warning for those of you who don't want facts, for those of you who don't care about facts. You know, it's so interesting that people care about facts when it comes to the other candidate, but they don't care about facts when it comes to their candidate. And I find that to be really interesting. All right, there's a lot going on this weekend. Parade, festivals, all kind of stuff. And the weather is going to be incredible. You know, we suffer so much during the year in this part of the country that let's just embrace and enjoy this weather that we have right now, because it is just awesome. So Sean Payton and the Broncos were booed when they came onto the field. And what I heard in the Dome compared to the way other teams are booed, I thought the boos were louder with Sean Payton coming into the Dome. And there were people who were... I was kind of low in the section. I was, I think, row 6. So I was kind of low in the plaza area. And a lot of fans, I guess they felt like Sean Payton might be able to see them. Of course, he wasn't going to pay attention to that. But a lot of people were flipping off Sean Payton. And I know a lot of you think that that's not appropriate. You know, I go back to Sean Payton made a decision to leave football. Things had gotten really rough with the Saints. And I think he had lost 5 in a row, or had lost a number of games, and things were really, really ugly. And Sean Payton bailed. He was still under contract, but he bailed. And then he was really using that as an excuse to look for a bigger market. And he did. And he's in Denver. But as you know, Sean Payton has not created magic in Denver. And I know that he gave us a Super Bowl. But look, you know, this is something else interesting to consider. And this it came up on the show yesterday. It was the enthusiasm of the city. It was the need of the people of New Orleans to have something to cling to that was positive after Hurricane Katrina. And the Saints provided that. The Saints provided that with a Super Bowl victory. But when was the other Super Bowl victory? There wasn't any. And even Sean Payton had, you know, back-to-back 7-9 seasons. Even with Drew Brees. So things weren't all rosy during his entire time here. Now, he gave us a Super Bowl, but I don't think any city should be satisfied with one Super Bowl. I mean, it was almost like the city was collectively satisfied. Oh, we got our Super Bowl. Well, what about another one? You know, what about at least acting like you really care about getting another one? And I know the Saints will say that, you know, yeah, they do. They do try. They do want that. But, you know, sometimes teams reflect the city that they're in. And even though the players come from all over the country, and I've seen this happen in my business, I've seen people come from other parts of the country, and they come here and they become part of New Orleans, which in many ways is positive. But when you become part of the acceptance of mediocrity, the laissez-faire mentality of New Orleans, I don't think that's good. And I see the team reflecting the city of New Orleans. And there is an unspoken acceptance of mediocrity. I remember years ago when the Saints fans were putting bags on their heads. It was bad. And the Saints were losing miserably. And there was TGF Fridays was right next to, was on Veterans Highway, right next to Rouse's. On Veterans Highway, Burlington is there in an office building there, and TGF Fridays was like the hot place to go. It was almost kind of like a meat market, and after Saints games, it was a big place to go. And I would see players after just a totally embarrassing loss. I would see players show up there with their chest out, like I'm a Saints player. And I'm thinking, man, I would, after that performance, I would be embarrassed to be in public kind of asking for fan adoration. And yet they were there. Some of the players were there. And that's when it occurred to me, and this was, I guess, the 70s. It occurred to me then that just being a Saints player was good enough. It didn't matter if you won. Just being a Saints player was good enough. And you were adorned. You were loved. You were appreciated. You were revered as a Saints player. And, you know, again, if I would have been a player at that time, and I thought about this at the time, I wouldn't go out in public. I mean, the players go to dinner. They go to Morton's. They go to Roos Chris after. They're not flaunting their presence. But I remember a couple of players that would like flaunt their presence there with their chest sticking out proud, trying to meet chicks. And I just thought, this is just, I don't know, there's something wrong about this. And so I think the city itself loves the Saints to the point where maybe there is this subconscious idea that the Saints don't have to be great just because they're the Saints. And we love them. And yes, we do love them. And we've got a great fan base. And Drew Brees talked about this last night when he was being inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. And that was really, that halftime moment was a very, very touching moment at the game last night. Drew Brees and his family, and man, he's got a beautiful family and a bunch of kids, and they're really growing up. And, he got a lot of applause. It was a great moment. And he said he loved the city, said just absolutely loved the city, loved the fans, said it was the best fan base ever. Gail Benson presented Drew Brees with his Saints Hall of Fame jacket, and Drew Brees just said, I love you, to the entire dome last night, and said it was the greatest team, the greatest owner, and the greatest fans. And it was great. Oh, and then he led the dome in his famous pregame cheer that he would do with the team. He led the dome in that, and that was awesome. Steve Gleason was there as well. There's a moment where Sean Payton did go over and talk to Drew Brees. I guess this must have been before the game, but it wasn't during the halftime ceremony. And I think Sean Payton going there at halftime during that moment would not have been appropriate. But, you know, they certainly meant a lot to each other. And there were some great winning seasons. And you know, you look at the list of the playoffs and division titles, and all of that was really, really exciting. But overall, I feel like this team is just not inspired. And I don't like the perception that I get, and the Saints don't want me to say this. And I mean, I love the Saints, man. Guys, I was with the Saints before many of you who even work for the Saints were working for the Saints. A lot of people say they were there. I don't know if they were really there or not, but I can tell you, I've never lied on this show. I was there in Tulane Stadium in 1967 when John Gilliam ran the first kickoff back for a touchdown. I was there. I was there for Dempsey's kick at Tulane Stadium against the Lions. I've been there through the years. I never put a bag on my head, and I never would. I wouldn't even today. But I've been there from the beginning, and fans have a right to talk about the team, any team, in any city. And I just don't like the body language and the demeanor of Dennis Allen after games. It just seems like there's too much complacency. And I would not be surprised if Dennis Allen was very intimidated going against Sean Payton last night. Now, that has nothing to do with the players on the field. That has nothing to do with the injuries. And we lose Adebo. You know, I mean, the list goes on. And it's bad. Spencer Rattler, I think he's got a lot of promise. But, you know, there were times when he acted too much like a rookie. But then again, look at Bo Nix. Bo Nix may not have completed every pass, but that guy was confident, and he made decisions. And there was a big difference between those two rookie quarterbacks. And Spencer Rattler hesitated. And there was a time that he was running, and he kind of stopped and hesitated. If he would have kept going, it would have been a big play. But he hesitated and then started running and then got tackled. Bo Nix made quick decisions. And Bo Nix is, like, big and fast and, you know, he could turn out to be a really good quarterback. So, I mean, really, what else can you say about the Saints? Dennis Allen again made some comments last night, and it's the same thing, and it's the exact same tone. Here's how Dennis Allen started to explain the humiliating loss to the Denver Broncos last night.
You know, you look at this game and there was nothing complimentary about the game. You know, in particular early on in the game, we weren't really able to get anything going offensively, defensively. You know, we allowed them to have too many long drives. And so therefore in the first half, I think the time of possession was out of whack. It kind of got a little bit more balanced up as the game went along, but I think that's been a challenge for us. You know, I think we're not winning the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. I think that's a challenge for us right now. And so, look, we've got, you know, obviously a few days here before we have to play again. We'll go out to L.A. Next week, and we've got to find a way to put our guys in the best position to have some success, and we got to find a way to play better football. And so that's been, it's been disappointing. Obviously, look, injuries play a part of it, but we've got to find a way to play better.
Guess what? We've heard that before. In that exact same way, in that exact same tone. Dennis Allen also seemed to concede that planning and preparation and practice only get you so far when a third of your team is on injured reserve.
Look, it's hard when you lose five in a row, and then when you look at all the injuries on top of it, and you know, yeah, it makes it a lot more challenging. And so I think our guys are fighting, and yet the results aren't showing.
No, they're not showing. Again, there are moments when the Saints look okay. Let's think about basic concentration. Let's think about basically doing your job as a Saints player. How did the honey bun, he used to be the honey badger, man. Sometimes when he's the honey bun, I'm going to call him the honey bun. He was the honey bun last night. How do you miss an interception that is thrown right to your numbers? It hit him in the chest. How do you not catch that ball? You're not concentrating. I mean, that had nothing to do with age. He couldn't even catch that. He couldn't hold the ball. It literally bounced right off number 32. And then I think it was Dwan Johnson, and I think this was for a first down. He dropped a pass. It was thrown right to him. How do you do that? You know, defensive backs don't get that many opportunities to have a ball thrown right to them. You can't miss those opportunities if you're a pro. If you're being paid millions of dollars to do what you do, you can't miss that. And Dwan Johnson, you can't drop those passes. I mean, I know these people are human, but this is like just basically doing your job. It's not even anything extraordinary. And so the Saints are just basically not doing their job. So I don't know. It's discouraging. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504 260-1870. You know it was coming. We'll dedicate this song to the entire New Orleans Saints football team. Hey, don't worry. We're going to talk about politics soon, and that's going to take our mind away from the loss last night. But if you had the energy, if you had the desire to say anything about the game last night or about the Saints, the Oakenheart Jewelers, talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air, beautiful free-for-all Friday, and we'll be back on WWL. There was an exodus last night at the Dome. With about 7 minutes left in the third quarter, I'd had enough. It's a school night, so getting home earlier was not a bad idea. I left the Dome 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and I was not alone. I just posted a video on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. You could check it out right now. Just posted a video of what it was like leaving the Dome with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. We weren't even to the fourth quarter yet. 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Take a look at the number of people leaving. I was not alone. In fact, Alvin Kamara, after the game, said he'd never seen the Dome so empty in the fourth quarter as he did last night. And he said, you know what? The fans are frustrated. He said, I don't blame them. Anyway, you can check that out. It's on Scoot on the Air Facebook. I'd love for you to join me there, become part of that, and comment. You know, some of the stuff we comment on, some of the things we post are a little bit controversial for a lot of people. I don't think they are, but some people think they're controversial. So I would love for you to comment and also comment on the comments. That's when it gets to be kind of fun. All right, I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you are with us. Let's go to Mark on the Causeway. Mark, you're on WWL. In fact, we found out that the Causeway has just reopened.
Yeah, Scoot, I'll tell you, I just got on the Causeway a couple of minutes ago. The sign over the bridge says rolling convoy, you know, no lane changes and all. But I'm going around 35 to 40 on the bridge right now. So I don't know if it's completely cleared, but they're letting people on the bridge.
Yeah, thank you for calling in with that, Mark. Yeah, we just, you know, we got word that the causeway was closed, and it had been closed. Some people were on it for an hour, and I just got the word that it was closed. And just after we announced it, almost right after we announced it, we found out that the causeway was reopened. But if you're doing 35 or 40 on the causeway, yeah, that's a lot slower than people usually go on the causeway.
Oh, absolutely. So there's probably some residual backup, you know, from the original wreck. But anyway, I just wanted to alert everybody so they don't go through Slidell or I-55 out of their
Mark,
way.
Thank you for that. And look, you know, you're out there over the lake. It is a beautiful day. You know, whenever I drive, I look for reasons to drive the causeway. I look for reasons to go across the lake because I love the drive. Just enjoy your drive over there. Look at this beautiful day. You're over the water. It's the longest bridge in the world over water. And, you know, it's really quite an attraction.
No, it's beautiful out here right now. Not hardly any clouds in the sky at all. Yeah. Okay, well, take care. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about it.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great weekend. All right, it's Free for All Friday. If you want to join us with a comment about the game or anything, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian with some of your early text messages.
Ooh, people got big feelings about all kinds of different things. We'll start here. Hey, can you remind people to early vote? We're trying to break a record today for opening day. Thank you.
Yeah, they did in Georgia. Georgia set a record for opening day voting. Now, do you think this is mostly people? Is it mostly people voting for Trump, or is it mostly people voting for Kamala Harris? Well, you know, we don't know, and I don't know if we'll ever know. I mean, at some point, I guess we might know what the early voting tolls were. But this is the first day of early voting in Louisiana. So get out and vote. Vote early and vote often.
Yeah, we don't know whose candidates are the ones going to the polls, but it's pretty easy to tell which candidate has been telling their voters not to early vote, not to mail absentee, to do any of that stuff. And now,
and Republicans,
we'll see if it's working for them.
Republicans have been telling Trump, hey, Donald,
shut up, dude.
Man.
You're
Stop
killing us,
doing
man.
That. I mean, we got to get people out early voting. And I think he's kind of been ambiguous about this, but he's kind of trying to change his tune on the early voting. But yeah, Donald Trump's been telling people, don't vote early. Vote on Election Day. Well, I mean, it's up to you, but early voting starts today.
Here's a text that says, Free for All Friday, A, Saints football, or B, politics. as much as I hate to hear anything about either, I'll take politics and hope for something to make me laugh. I love listening to you guys.
Hey, man, thank you very much. Because, yeah, we've got some politics to get to. But it qualifies for Free for All Friday because some of this stuff is so bizarre that you just got to laugh at it. I mean, you have to.
You mentioned back there in the sort of opening rant that you delivered that, you know, we only have one Super Bowl and we should have more. Here's a text message that says, Sean Payton actually brought us to two Super Bowls, but the refs stole one from us.
Well, we didn't actually get to the Super Bowl, but yes, I was there. In fact, I was on the first row in the dome in that section that was right in front of where that happened. I was right there. I saw it. And all of you saw it. And all of you saw it in reruns. So we might have gotten to the Super Bowl had it not been for the refs. So, you know, that's a good point. But my overall point is that as a city, we should just demand excellence on a continuous basis out of everybody. From the mayor to the Saints to just all of us in our individual jobs. And that's not something that we really push in this city.
One more crack about our one Super Bowl win. Here's a text that says, hey, one is better than none. Look at Atlanta.
Well, okay. I mean, I agree with that. But again, here's the justification for just winning one, you know, or you know, not even being close. Well, except for that one time. We haven't really even been close to getting to the Super Bowl since then. And again, that other time. But you know, I was happy with that Super Bowl win. It was just a great, great thing for New Orleans. But the city helped provide the catalyst for the Saints to have this collective mentality of we need to win a Super Bowl for this city. Well, why can't that mentality be reinstilled in the city, even though we haven't just gone through a hurricane?
About Sean Payton's legacy, here's one that says, Sean Payton is considered such a quarterback whisperer, but he's never developed a quarterback. In his tenure here, only one game was started by a Saints draft pick, and that was Ian Book. Oops, Ian Book, during that COVID game, and wow. Only because he was the only healthy quarterback.
Interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does with Bo Nix. You know, he was in that class with Jaden Daniels, and I saw promising things. I know he missed a lot of passes, but man, that guy can get himself out of trouble because we got close to him a number of times and, you know, he got away most of the time.
And I'll leave you with this one. Sean Payton left this cupboard bare. Acceptance of failure is the norm in this city at all levels. It's sad, really. Hence our population decline, down 19,000 people in the last 3 years. Are the smart ones leaving? Dunno.
Well, you know, when I talk about this, I kind of feel like a lone wolf when it comes to this because, you know, not many people talk about this. And it's true. And I'm not trying to beat up the city. I love this city so much that I want this city to be better. And we can be better. We just have to get out of this laissez-faire mentality. And it's not going to be easy. And this has been instilled in this city for generations. And as I have said, I have seen people come here to do business and they come from other areas of the country and they come here and they become part of it. They don't try to change it. They become part of it. And there are some things that we should admit are not perfect about this city. And we should say, hey, we love the city. But why can't we talk about it being better and still love the city? All right, if you have a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Crew of Boo is Saturday and a lot of Halloween activities going on this weekend around the city. All right, it's a free-for-all Friday, and if you want to join us with your comment, we can talk about just about anything you want to talk about. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we will be back on WWL. Well, some people have just boarded the crazy train when it comes to this political season. You don't mind if a little bit later we do some fact-checking? I mean, he did it again. Donald Trump told just a crazy lie that was instantly fact-checked, and it's not true. And it's a big lie. It's a big lie because it talks about his policies. He's lying about his policies and his impact on American business. And I want to share this with you. I'm not going to change your mind. If you're voting for Trump, you're going to vote for Trump. That's okay. But I just think it's important that we know the truth. And that's what we do on this show from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a free-for-all Friday. Let's go to the North Shore. And Bob, you're on WWL.
Bob, Scoot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm not trying to educate you, but I'm trying to convince your listeners. I'm going to give you a quote from Confucius. Confucius said, "What is necessary is to rectify names. If names be not correct, language is not in accord with the truth of things." If language...
That was the Confucius gong.
What's that?
That was the Confucius gong.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
You did good, Ian. All right, go ahead, Bob.
Okay. If language is not in accord with the truth of things, affairs cannot be carried on to success. I deign to remind everybody that Trump is a convicted felon criminal. That language is in accord with the truth of things. As you know, I'm a retired military, an Army officer, 21 years of service, and when he defamed, denigrated people that I knew, that I served with, that I served for, and some who I even commanded, and said they were suckers and losers, that scratched his name out of my favorite people book.
Bob, I understand. Thank you for the Confucius quote, and thank you for your service to our country. I wonder what the spin is for MAGAites on Trump calling veterans suckers and losers. Everybody seems to have a spin on it. Like, no, this is what he really meant. J.D. Vance is big with that. No, this is what he really meant. I mean, what did he really mean? He called veterans who fought in wars suckers and losers. That's something that Kamala Harris brought up on the Fox interview the other day with Bret Baier. And a lot of Fox viewers, since they only watch Fox, they don't know that because Fox doesn't mention that. But it's true. He called them suckers and losers. So what's the spin on that? All right, let's go to Gentilly. And Chili Gentilly joins us from Gentilly. Hello, Chili.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to call about the Saints. I think I called you once before. I had called about them hiring Dennis Allen. The problem I see with the Saints now, and this is going to be radical, so hang on. I think Gail Benson, the best interest would be to sell the football team. And the reason why I say that is because there's really no one, you know, else that can give her good advice other than the people she already has. And it's obvious that in the last 3-4 years, the advice she's been getting is just not the right advice. I think they really need to clean house. Why they hired a losing coach is beyond me. You know, I can understand, but this guy already has a track record, and it's a losing track record. And as far as Mickey Loomis is concerned, that's got to be the bug in Gail Benson's ear. Now, who supervises him? I don't think anybody. He's the general manager of this ball club. And as such, you know, he has to take the blame, too. I just hate seeing this football team the way it is.
Well, I know, because it seems like there's answers to the problems. I don't think Gail Benson needs to sell the Saints. I think she and I'm not one to, you know, give her advice. She's in the situation she's in, well, because she was married to Tom Benson. But, you know, Gail Benson's in a very powerful position. And, you know, the smartest people I know understand what they don't know. And they hire people around them who can give them the best advice. Now, Mickey Loomis was part of the Saints Super Bowl. He's been part of Saints winning seasons.
Sure.
I mean, Mickey Loomis has done a lot. But there comes a time in the lives of a lot of people when, you know, things change. And I would like to think that Mickey Loomis is still up for the job or that he finds a way to refresh himself. And, yeah, I mean, look, I talked about this last year, and a lot of people didn't want to hear it. But I still have questions about Dennis Allen as head coach of the Saints, and I'm not the one who makes the decision.
There's no doubt. And, you know, I just feel like the problem I say is, you know, the bug in Gail Benson's ear is basically Mickey Loomis, and those decisions haven't been correct. And, you know, why hire a losing coach? My other comment is on politics, and I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal. I will say this. I don't believe this election is going to be as close as people say it is. I think when people get into that polling booth, get into the voting booth, I think I trust them to make the right decision. And the right, this is the greatest con man in history. There's no doubt about it. Wall Street is based on Donald Trump. Yeah. And go back to Wall Street, the movie, and take a look at it. It was all about greed and power. Yeah. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is all about. If people, I can't understand people voting for him. I just don't think that this, I'm praying that this election is not going to be as close as people think it is. I think it's going to be an election.
I appreciate the call. I will not be surprised if it is not as close as the polls are indicating right now, because I think for whatever reason, I don't know that people are being totally honest with the pollsters. And when it comes to that moment of voting, I think people are going to make decisions that might not be reflected in the polls. I don't think Gail Benson should sell the Saints. She is she's a wonderful woman. She is a strong businesswoman. And, you know, I think Dennis Allen's hire was all about business. You know, the Saints just need to do enough to get, and Bobby Hebert said this, they just need to do enough to get people in the seats. That's what they care about. But when people start leaving the game with 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and I posted a video last night, that's when I left, and I was not alone. Take a look at the video. It's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And when people start leaving that early in a game, that is a statement about how the fan base is really becoming disenchanted. I'm Scoot. Be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2008, R&B soul singer Dee Dee Warwick passed away after a long struggle with poor health. She was only 63 years old, best known for this 60s hit, I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. Diana Ross and the Supremes did a cover of this. That might be an interesting text off one day. All right, I'm Scoot. We've got a lot of calls on hold. If you're on hold, just be patient. We'll get through the news, and we will get to your calls as soon as we come back. Also, the Bayou Barbie, Angel Reese, WNBA, says her salary doesn't cover her rent. She's complaining about her salary. We'll add that to the conversation next hour. I'm Scoot, Free for All Friday on WWL.